else. In Micah, God presents the people with a wonderful reality of the promised land, and they had everything they needed, but they gradually lost sight of that. For instance, maybe they felt safe and powerful, and those feelings seemed more real to them than their memories of slavery in the promised land. Or they had now conquered some other people, and those relationships and that change in status perhaps felt more real to them than the fact that it was God who did this and not them. And so, like Adam and Eve, they were tempted by the lie that they didn't need God in their new reality. Even though they had built an Ebenezer to remind them of what was true and real, they ended up forgetting. They ended up putting their trust in everything else. That is the accusation that God has brought against them in this courtroom of creation. And here's the verdict. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? What I love about this is that in being told what to do, they're being reminded of who God is. This is bringing them back to what is real, bringing them back to God's truth. Because God doesn't need 1,000 rams. God doesn't need 10,000 rivers of oil. God doesn't need sacrifices. He doesn't need anything, because that's not who God is. The truths that the people are being invited to return to, justice, kindness, humility, they're not asked to do these things just because they're good, but because true justice, true kindness, true humility reflect a life oriented around God. They reflect a better reality of the things that God cares about. And living a life around these things that looks like Jesus. Because Jesus is just. And he shows us true justice. Not vengeance or comeuppance, but the work of restoration, the work of setting things right. He came to help the poor, to heal the blind, to set the captives free. Jesus is just, and that's what's real. Jesus is kind, and he shows us true kindness. Not just courtesy or politeness or gift giving, but he reaches down to the very lowest person in a way that was criticized by others. He saw people who others overlooked, and he affirmed them when others didn't even treat them like human beings. Jesus is kind, and that's what's real. Jesus is humble, and he shows us true humility. Not by putting himself down, not by allowing others to manipulate him, but by living out the truth regardless of what other people thought. Not to elevate himself or to use it for his own gain, but living as a servant in submission to the truth. Jesus is humble, and that's what's real. So what is real to us? What makes up our reality, our idea of what's true? Is it mostly made of the things that change, our relationships and our money and our feelings? Or is it mostly made of the things that stay the same? There was a long time when I felt that the realest things are the things that change. And so my life was either way up or way down based on what other people thought of me, based on how successful I thought I was, based on how things looked when I compared myself to others, even based on whether I thought God was disappointed in me. I was either up or down, and that is an exhausting way to live. Jesus saved me. He saved me from that hell of putting my faith in everything else but him. Because when everything else falls away, Jesus is there. Who Jesus is, that stays the same. He loves us, and that's who we are, and that's what's true. You are loved, and that's what's real. That stays the same. When all of these other things shake and crumble, and when everything else is gone, Jesus is there. When all of my relationships are gone, Jesus is there. And when all of my money is gone, Jesus is there. And when I am past the point of pain and all of my feelings are gone and I am nothing but numb, Jesus is there. He was there before the beginning, and he will be there after the end. Because if there is anything real in this world, it's him. And if there is anything worth living for in this world, it's Jesus. And if there's one true thing that we can cling to in this world, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And when we forget what's real, when we forget who God is, when we forget who we are, Jesus is there. Because though we are lost so easily, Jesus never loses us. He has us in his hands that are just and kind and humble. And I have to wonder if that is what heaven will be like when all of the uncertainties of this life and when all of the pains of this life have dissolved and drifted away, and Jesus is there, and he has us in his hands that are just and kind and humble. Where in your life do you need to feel the strong hands of Jesus? Where in your life do you need to feel his justice, his kindness, or his humility? Where in your life are you being tossed about by the things that change? Where in your life have you forgotten what's real? Hear the good news of the gospel. And there is nothing more real than this, that through Jesus Christ you were created, and by Jesus Christ you are forgiven, and in Jesus Christ you will live. Amen and amen.